Hello again, Father Hanchy, continuing our meditations or reflections, or if we can call them contemplations, on the aspect of St. Gaspar Bertoni's charism, which we might consider as development, growth, intensification. In the previous conference, we ended with De Verbum 8, that article from the Second Vatican Council, which says faith, vocation, knowledge grows in the Church by contemplation, study, listening to the magisterium, and a lived experience. So let's begin this new reflection on the spiritual development according to St. Gaspar with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, pray for us all. So this De Verbum 8 does speak of the dynamic nature of divine tradition. Divine revelation grows not in its content, but in our understanding of it. So this can be learning, ongoing living of the Word of God, ongoing listening to the magisterium as history unfolds and various challenges come to the Church and to the true message of Jesus Christ. So St. Gaspar, on a much more humble scale, speaks of how to become a better apostolic missionary. So in his Compendium Breve, the introduction to his entire 314 constitutions, he gives us the basic outlines of what he will develop. So we're looking now at Constitution 7 and 8, and the development of the intellect and will, and development of understanding and spirituality, and the deeper intellectual advancement by study and becoming experts or competent in some area. So the deposit of faith in the Church begins in the Trinity. There was an eternal dialogue of faith and goodness that went on through all eternity. And some rather hardy exegetes say the word Abba might have come from St. Peter hearing Christ praying as Peter was falling asleep, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He seems to have used that very loving term, Abba, a real family name, which would give us great insights both into the Trinity and the mystery of the Incarnation. So there is meant to be a growing understanding, and for our charism, a growing living of the truths that St. Gaspar presents to us under the magisterium of the Church. So the factors are contemplation. We are invited to a serious spiritual life. Now it may be, if I can use the example, our morning meditations may not seem to be very good to us. But being an old Roman, we used to say our morning meditation should be like a Roman degree. It doesn't have to be good, but hand it in. Get somebody else's judgment on it. So while our morning prayer might not seem all that great, stay with it, because it is your effort at whatever stage we are, all of us are in life, we're trying to reach out to God that he will help us and make us better stigmatines. So the spiritual experience of the Church is believing, praying, the liturgy, these great monuments of tradition, through a loving exchange across the centuries of faith really being lived and celebrated. The duty of the magisterium, the superiors in the Church, their duty is to hand on the Word of God in its integrity. And that's why, for them, too, a great life of prayer is very, very important, and they remain united to the Pope by listening to their superiors. So our vocation is not like a talent to be buried in the desert sands, but it's like a gift that has been given to be developed, to be invested so it'll have greater worth. So this present reflection, then, is on the Compendium Rude, where St. Gaspar speaks about a real spiritual development. So living the constitutions for St. Gaspar, was something like making a portrait of Jesus in our lives. What he's talking about is continuing education, ongoing formation, lifelong conversion on the intellectual, moral, religious, and psychological levels. This is a major piece of St. Gaspar Toni's legacy. Perfectus in Latin means advancement, to develop, to make progress. So we are trying to make progress in understanding the charism of St. Gaspar and then translating it into our lives. St. Ignatius believed that his vocation, his constitutions, were meant to be a contemplatio ad amorem, a contemplation leading to love. The Church, the constitutions for St. Ignatius, were a companion volume to his spiritual exercises. He would give a retreat, asking a man to listen to the Word of God and to consider what he was going to do with the rest of his life. One of the answers would be to become a Jesuit. So that's a companion volume. The constitutions of the Jesuit are one way in which a person can make a conversion and do this for the rest of his life. So our constitutions seem to be a contemplation toward hope. We have not yet arrived. We are not yet what we still can be. So this indicates the progressive nature and development indicated for our spirituality, our doctrine, our membership, and our apostolate. These are the areas in which St. Gaspar seemed to emphasize his work the most: the spiritual development, spiritual growth, doctrinal growth, the growth in our adherence to the community by juridical vows and appointments, and finally the apostolic growth by gradually living the priestly life and working our way up through the more difficult services to the one, this total self-giving to God by abandonment to the Church, or by abandonment to God with total commitment to the Church. So on February 26, 1809, St. Gaspar wrote this in his diary: "We must all make in ourselves a portrait of Jesus Christ." Well, our great Stigmatine historian, Father Joseph Stofella, whose work really could never be appreciated enough, has made a wonderful commentary on this, and he found a Jesuit spiritual writer by the name of Father Da Ponte, and he presents a beautiful meditation on the Incarnation, quoted by Father Stofella. And this is what Father Da Ponte wrote: "God showed in the last days his holiness and all his virtues by impressing them on the God-made man. He wanted Jesus to be a visible portrait of all of this, so that we may be stimulated by his example to imitate them, while he helps us by his grace to acquire them. In this way, nobody can excuse himself from doing it." Well, of course, Father Da Ponte was a great Jesuit spiritual writer, and he had this as his interpretation of what the Jesuit constitutions meant. In a way, the constitutions of St. Gaspar are his meditation on how we should be incarnate as servants of the Church. Another great Jesuit writer, a Father Surin, in his spiritual letters, wrote, "What is needed by us all is the image of Jesus Christ. It is this divine portrait which we have to draw in our own hearts." So a portrait is not a photograph, or with these portable phones that we can take in an instant and second after it happens, send it to Thailand or Indonesia or India or Rome and so on. So this gradually made portrait, this painting that takes time. Just think of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel in Rome, laying on his back for 4 years to paint the ceiling. It's quite an achievement. So portrait, then, is not a snapshot. It's not something you do in a minute. A better example might be an icon. Those iconographers would meditate and pray over a theme. They would do penance and then gradually paint what they were praying over, what they were thinking of. So each personality comes out as an individual in a community context. The community is the charism of St. Gaspar, developed in each and every one of us individually. So it, in one way, we sacrifice part of our individuality for the communion, common value, as the whole community is then committed to the church. So we are invited to meditate, to contemplate the charism of St. Gaspar Vittoni, and that's what I'm trying to do here with you, is my long years of study on these things, to share at least my understanding and my aspect in the hopes that it might be of some use to all of you. So as we read in Philippians 2:5, how do we put on the mind of Christ Jesus? Well, how do we put on the mind of St. Gaspar Vittoni? By imitating and following after him the work of an entire lifetime. So to see this thing through to the end is what the challenge is. So therefore, the original constitutions of St. Gaspar, even though he is now canonized and has received the highest honors of the Church, we remember that his work is a hope-filled booklet still in progress. The final chapter has not been written in our lives. As long as we are alive, we can grow in some way. So the principle of growth applies to all spirituality, to all learning, to all juridical levels, and to, as well as gradually assuming the more difficult apostolic missions. St. Gaspar speaks of that 4 or 5 different times. There are many things we have to do as a church and as church people, but there is also a gradated approach in these. Some, like Mary, spent much of her life making wishes, washing dishes. She lived a very humble domestic life, didn't build any cathedrals, didn't perform any miracles. She simply said, "Fiat, let the word of God be done unto me." And she is now the mother of the church, to whom we pray that these words may be realized in every one of us. So in our emphasis, or looking at progress in spiritual formation, in the Stigmatine life and mission, its spirituality and its learning were a major concern for St. Gaspar Vittoni. And this is found in the constitutions that develop these themes, which we will look at now in some detail. Excuse me. So the manner in which the novices trained would be constitutions 33 to 39. For example, every 6 months there was a kind of a scrutiny. When I was a novice master for 17 years, I think it was, I used to ask the novice to come see me every month because they were always small in number, and I found a personal contact with them was very helpful, at least to me, and I hope it was to them. So every 6 months they get a kind of a renewal, how they're doing, a confront, sometimes tough love. They may not be doing as well as they should be. And like a dear friend of mine, on hearing the Stigmatine charism, quoted for me Luke 12:48, "To whom much is given, much is required." And you know, you and I have been given a lot. We've been given many, many wonderful gifts. And the great care lay people take of us because of their faith, we need to develop and to grow because of them. St. Gaspar often grieved over the fact that many, many lay people are much further ahead in the spiritual life than you and I are as priests and religious. At any rate, this is the call, ongoing conversion, to get better at what we're doing so that we will be better in what we are. So this is one of the aspects of novitiate. Secondly, to have some understanding of the general, particular laws of the church. Well, this is much more difficult in our time because there have been so many changes. And many people insist on the old way or on some new way that hasn't come yet and never will, most likely. So we do have to keep somewhat updated to have some understanding of really what is going on in the church. St. Ignatius called this sentire cum ecclesia. That means to feel with the church, not only to obey the church, but in some way to contribute to her progression, to her development, and to grieve for her failures or the mistakes that are made in her by her members. So we do need this kind of an updating. Then, of course, there are the instructions of the master. Master, in this case, really doesn't mean that any one of us is better than anyone else. It simply means somebody who's gone this way before and has some expertise in the way St. Gaspar wanted us to live. So this is why I offer my little reflections for whatever use they may have. Then the particular general statutes of the Institute, of this community. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to understand this community, this very small, minimal congregation is what St. Gaspar called it, very small, insignificant, not important, much like the Anhui, the poor of the Lord, who never gave up on their belief in lifting up their heads and their hearts to God. And then Gaspar, as did St. Ignatius before him, we need a compendium. We do need a summary of where are we going, what are we doing. Well, I can tell you in my long years as a priest, the Vatican on several occasions emitted a vade mecum. One of them was, if you ever saw an accident on the street or a sudden injury or death, we could anoint. There was a vade mecum for the last sacraments. There was a vade mecum for ceremonies. There was one, probably I think the last one ever made was one 20 years ago, a vade mecum for the changed situation in which so many people in the church find themselves. Because we forget. And that's why our main ceremony is a memorial. Do this in memory of me. So the compendium rude, as we've seen, is not so much a compendium that is rude or unlettered. It means it's a summary, a general summary or a synthesis or a summa or a synopsis of what we are to believe and do. So all of that is found in Constitution 33. The next one speaks of perseverance in Constitution of the Founder 34. We are asked to persevere in this thing, as if you know of Dr. Zhivago, it was a famous film of some 20 years ago, and the last line of that famous story that won all kinds of awards for the film industry and also modern literature, this idea that it's no small thing to live life through to the end. So then it says, progress in interior discipline. And this is found in Constitution 47 and following. It's very important that we keep trying, no matter how many times we may fail and so on, to keep trusting in God, keep discerning how we can live this life better. That is the challenge. So here legislation asks for a deeper appreciation on the part of each one of us, how we're developing, how attuned are we to the interior discipline, the graces that God is sending us. For example, if we get the idea some way maybe to pay better attention during our meditation, it's not so much adding new disciplinary tenets, but much more doing better with the ones we have. So if this is indeed our vocation to serve God and living the life of the congregation of the Sacred Stigmata, these ideas, hopefully, are an inspiration to us all. This law of progress leads to the ultimate juridical promotion, that of serving God in the congregation as an apostolic missionary, properly so called. With St. Ignatius, whom in some ways St. Gaspar copied and emulated very closely, he found six experiences, is what he called them, apostolic experiences, whereby a candidate in formation would grow. Now you've got to remember that St. Ignatius, before he died, there were 1,000 members, and they were spread throughout the universities of Europe, and many of them were chaplains in the royal families. We remember our own Father Bregato, whom St. Gaspar surrendered or sacrificed truly for the greater service of the church. The bishops asked for an Italian confessor and spiritual director of the royal court of Vienna, the Habsburg. So the bishops, through Father Bazzoni's generous gift, took Father Bregato, who was one of St. Gaspar's closest and dearest collaborators. So these experiences that St. Ignatius developed in a segment of his rule, number 657 and following, the six of them are spelled out. And this is what they are, because we see them everywhere in our rule. The first experience is that a Jesuit before final vows, had to make a retreat of a full month. And about 10 days of those 30 days when one would concentrate on his sins, the mistakes he made. And then in the end it was suggested that one make a general confession of the events, and they would ponder the events and mysteries of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. The great Jesuit theologian Suarez wrote a volume, two volumes, on the mysteries of Christ's life theologically, and they're brilliant work, many, many pages on the life of Jesus as to be imitated, the great as teacher and as preacher and all of these things that he did. So this means then our annual retreat has to be considered important. One of the enormous risks of one seasoned in the spiritual combat is to skip it, not to do it. In our earlier years, we do have people that insist upon it and so on. So it's something we never want to skip, not 30 days, but they usually say a few days, and this is usually the five business days of a working week. So the second is to serve in a hospital for another month. Well, this, of course, was many of the men who came to the Jesuit order were nobles, like the Borgias, and many of these important Spanish families contributed their sons as the Society of Jesus began to spread. So it was considered that these men, these brilliant scholars, should get their hands dirty, taking care of sick and injured and dying people. He saw it as a great formative principle. And even today, in many of the experiences that diocesan priests receive, I've served as 35 years as a seminary spiritual director of the North American College, Dunwoody in New York, and Mundelein in Chicago, plus Pope John. They would be in their third summer, a summer of hospital experiences, and they would be graded and had to respond to certain situations. They were examined, they were encouraged, and they were taught. So it still is a value to know that someday we're gonna need help to serve the sick and the well in conformity with all of life. So hospital work is something Father Bertone began but was not able to continue because of the great risk of contagion, and he was a school teacher. The third experience is spend another month in a pilgrimage. One of the great classics of the Jesuit spirituality is the story of St. John Beckman, when he made his first novitiate up in Belgium. And when it came time for first vows, he was told that he'd be making his vows in Rome, and you may leave whenever you want. That's what he was told. No money. Now, it's something that, of course, has been greatly torn down in recent years. But once in a while, to move up from where we are in a comfort zone, sometimes it's good to move on and to do something else, especially for someone else. The fourth experience is that of low and humble offices in the community. If it's not too excessive, in my own life, my father was a judge. So when I first came to the congregation, they gave me the job of washing all the toilets in the house. Well, I never realized it was a special training they were asking of me, coming from, I put in quotes, noble family. I didn't realize it because all my life that was my job at home. So anyway, I continued and I got good at it. I got very good at it. So the humble and low services, it reminds us of the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph. Our holy spouses really are models in ordinary tasks with extraordinary holiness. The fifth one is one that maybe we have lost a little bit as a community. That is the teaching of catechism. You will be amazed at what the Jesuits used to have. It was almost a fifth vow for the Jesuits because it's one of those things that gets easily neglected. It's not easy to do it. In my own priestly life, I had a very difficult time teaching teenagers. I didn't know how to keep discipline or keep them attentive and so on. But the explaining of Christian doctrine is a true art, and it's something we need to do more, even in our community, as we'll see when I explain how it was in St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the sixth experience was, because many of these men came as priests, was to begin hearing confessions and giving simple sermons, gradually working their way up to learned discourses, teaching theology or running universities, which the Stigmatines never had. So St. Gaspar has these six experiments all over his rule. For example, in number 42, in this time, right after novitiate, through varied and new experiments and testing, each will show himself to be formed, so that his piety, humility, and prudence will be evidence to all, especially his superiors. So these are meant to gradate us to the complete work of the highest work of the priesthood. The most solemn obsequium or oblation that we make is complete service to the church in whatever capacity we can offer, at whatever age we have, as long as we are able to do anything. And when we can't do anything else, to offer all of our long days in prayer. Again, one very personal experience I had as a provincial. Father Peter Toretta, who had been a very dynamic pastor of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Springfield, suddenly came down with a cancer of the spine. It's a very, very painful illness. So as provincial, he was living in Milford at the time. I went over one summer afternoon and sat with him, and we had a quiet talk, and then he seemed to slip away a little, found out and came back a little bit later. And there he was, reading, but all bent over in bed. So I said, "Father, are you in pain?" He said, "No, I'm reading my breviary, and I've come to that part where I'm supposed to kneel down." Even though it's a little exaggerated and a little bit pietistic, I've never forgotten it. That's 50 years or 40 years ago or whatever it is. It was an extraordinary witness of a man, very, very uncomfortable, but wanting to spend that hot August afternoon in prayer. So some of the ideas of promotion aren't as important as now. Remember, the founder never had a special habit, never did. We were asked to dress in the way the more perfect religious would dress. And I think there still is a challenge there in some way to wear some indication that we are dedicated to God in by vow and by community life. So in this gradual promotion to the priestly office, listen to this, they had to go to school until they're 30. Then they can be gradually initiated into the sacred orders and into the priesthood. So we'll look at this probably in the next reflection, this gradual coming into the priestly life, which the early Stigmatines did and which we were all trained to do by following the teaching of St. Gaspar Petroni. However good we are, we could all be a little bit better. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. St. Gaspar Petroni, pray for us all. And thank you for listening.